Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in the second Mishnah of the first parak of Masachet Bechorot on Daf Hey Amud Bet. Parash Yalda Min Chamor V'Chamor Shialda Kevin Sus. The truth is, this is the first part, majority of the second Mishnah. So if a para gives birth to something that looks like a donkey, or a donkey that gives birth to something that looks like a horse, in both cases, they're patur from whatever b'chorah we would assume. Here, shenamar, petach hamor, it shows up twice in the Torah. Shnei pamim achi ha-yoled hamor v'hanolad hamor. Both the birthing mother and the baby born have to look like a donkey. Umahim ba'achila, and parenthetically, what's the status of eating an animal whose mother is tahor, but it looks like tamei? If the mother is tahor, it's, you're allowed to eat it. And the opposite is true. If a pig gives birth to something that looks like a sheep, you're not allowed to eat it. Because that which comes out of a tahor is tahor, and vice versa if it's tamei. Now, tanatam, we have a Mishnah later on. So that's a ewe giving birth to something that looks like a goat, or vice versa. It's exempt. But if the young looks a little like its mother, then chayav. And immediately, what's the source of the exemption? Of Yehuda, the Markra, ach b'chor shor, u'b'chor kesef, b'chor eiz. The Torah lists them specifying b'chor shor, b'chor kesef, b'chor eiz. Why? Shehu shor, u'b'chor ro shor. Both the mother and the baby have to look like a shor. B'chor kesef, shehu kesef, b'chor kesef, b'chor eiz, shehu eiz. I might think that you're exempt even if it looks a little like the mother. Tamil Omar Ach. And therefore the Ach, Chilek, says this rule doesn't apply in all cases. It only applies when it's in the extreme, when it looks nothing like the mother. Now, Vahatana, but our Mishnah, Petochamor, Petokanasi Lapara, it used Petro twice, even for a para, meaning the offspring of a para being exempt when it doesn't look like a para. The answer is Hudakon Biosegli, the brightest following of Yosegli, the Tanah of Yosegli, Amar, Ach, Bechor, Shor, Achiehu, Shor, Bechor, Shor, Bechor, Kesav, Achiehu, Kesav, Bechor, Kesav, Bechor, Eiz, Achiehu, Eiz, Bechor, Eiz. Cholaf, Yidish, Mokzat, Simanim, Tom, Lomar, Ach, Chilek, exactly like we saw in the Breiter of Yosegli. Now, Mike and Mipalgi, what's the machloka between our Breiter and our Mishnah and this Breiter of Yosegli, as far as which psukim to learn it from? Our Tana thinks that the Torah explicated the issue of looking alike in the case of Kedushat Damim, which is Bopetra Chamor, which has no inherent sanctity, no physical sanctity. And then we're supposed to extrapolate it to Kedushat Aguf, where the animal really is Kadosh, which is Bohor Beima Tahora. The opposite of Kedushat Damim, Kedushat Aguf. And then learns Kedushat Damim, Petach Hamor, from Kedushat Aguf. Now, Matanda Didan, now we're going to play a little ping pong. Hi, Bechor, Bechor, my Avidle, what does he do with Bechor, Bechor? If he already got this rule from Petach Hamor, Vailech Rabbi Yosef Chanin, Rabbi Yosef Chanin, Lama Ne'amru, Emurin Bechor Shor, Emurin Bechor Kesav, Emurin Bechor Eiz, why does the Torah explicate that you have to burn the Chelev of Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesav, Bechor Eiz? I need all three of them. If the Torah only said it about Bechor Shor, I would say sure, because a Shor has a lot of Nesachim, six Log and three Saron, etc. Kesev, a lamb, I understand at least, has the fatted tail that goes up on the Mizbeach. So I understand that it has a special Mizbeach connection. Alright, so I wouldn't know to apply it to the others. That an individual who does a Avodah Zorah b'shogeg brings a sa'ir. So that's a special relationship. Now, parenthetically, we see within the context of this drasha that you could not have learned the other two from one. But maybe we could learn one from two, meaning only the Torah only had to write two of these, and we could learn the third one from it. So now let's try. Which one do we want to have be omitted and then infer? Let's say we leave Shor out. It's a Kesav and Eiz. Both can be used for Pesach. So that's why the Bechor. And Bechor and Pesach obviously have a very close relationship. Maybe the Torah could leave it out in the case of Kesav. Both Par and Eiz are used for certain expiation rights when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Par, if it's the Beit Din that did the Hora and Seir for the individual. So, if the Torah only wrote Kesev and Shor, I'd say sure, because those two have some extra gift to the Mizbeach, either a lot of Nesachim in the case of the Shor, or the fatted tail in the case of the lamb. Okay, so I need them. But that's, again, a side issue. The point is, we've now found another need for Bechor, Bechor, Bechor. Now, Rabbi Yossi Glili, what's his answer to that? It could have then said, fine, list all three of them, but don't give each one its own category. Bechor, Bechor, Lamali. Why did it say Bechor, Shor, Bechor, Kes, Bechor, Eiz? Elam, Shom, Na'at, Shiei, Hu, Shor, Bechor, O, Shor, etc. Which means Rabbi Yossi Glili really is saying that this pasuk teaches us two things. One is that the Imurim come on all, in spite of the fact that we would have distinguished between the animals. And the second thing is that it has to look like the mother. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Glili, now we've got to flip it. Hi, Petar Chamor, Petar Chamor, my Avidai. What does he do with the double read of Petar Chamor that we used for exempting when it doesn't look alike? When the Torah says you even have to redeem Bechor Behemat Me'ah, I would think it's all Bechor Behemat Me'ah, even horses and camels, etc. Tamalomar Petachamor Marti Lechavelo Pitresusim Ugmalim. Therefore, the Torah says Petachamor that what you are obligated to do is only the donkeys. Vadayin Aniyomer Pitrechamor Beseh. So maybe that only means that the donkeys are the ones who are redeemed with a seh. Pitresusim Ugmalim Becholdavar. But other kind of non kosher animals are redeemed with anything. And so therefore, Tamalomar Petachamor. Shnei piyamim. Therefore, I had it twice. Pitrechamor marti lechavelo pitresusim ugmalim. So I have petachamor twice. The first is to knock out pitre rechem of other non-kosher animals from seh, and the second one knock it out totally. So parachavacha rachay says that's not the way we would have learned it. If the Torah had only written it once, one of the hermeneutic rules that is espoused by Rabbi Yishmael is if you have something that's included in a non-specific group, and then one item in it is specified, it teaches the rule for all of them. It's an example. And therefore, if it said Petar Chamor, I would say, oh, Chamor is an example, and all non-kosher animals have to be deemed with a set. Let me set. Rachmana Petar Chamor, therefore the Torah wrote it a second time to tell him, Pitrech Mamim Velo Pitrech Susimwalim, Ve'ima Ma'atinu Misao Le'alam Macholdavar. Maybe it has to be redeemed, but redeemed with money or something else, and only the Chamor is the set. So therefore, we sort of turn the argument inside out. So the answer is, if that's all you wanted to do, you wouldn't have to write Petah the second time. What do I need the exact same phrase with the word Petah there? The answer is, other non-kosher animals are totally out. Now, so where does our Tana get, now that we've moved around, where does our Tana get the exclusion of Susim Gualim from if he used Petah Chamor for the lookalike? Our Papa, kol miknecha tizachar klal, shor vasev vachamor, which is the next pasuk, prat, klal uprat, emakal malshub prat. All of your cattle that give birth to a zachar, that's the klal, shor vasev vachamor is the prat, and therefore, emakal malshub prat, all you have is the bovines, and the donkeys. So there we go. Yosef Glili says, Petar if sikhanyan, when it says, call me the chati zachar, Petar shor vaseh, ufetar chamor tifteh vaseh, the second Petar separates it. So you no longer have chamor and part of the prat. Bonan vav hadar arvi kra. So Rabbanan say, yeah, that's true, but the vav ufetar chamor relinks them. Yosef Glili says, so loch ton loch levav lo Petar. Says, so fine, let the Torah write it without a vav and without Petar and keep them separate, and we'd be all fine. Why did it do that? It did it to tell me this lesson, which is that that these are the only ones that are brought. Rabbanan say, I did hakrushat domim v'hakrushat aguf pasik luhu. Since the donkey is kedushat domim and the other one is kedushat aguf, the Torah had to separate them because it's two different kinds of things. V'hadar ayv luhu, and then later the vav brings them together. All right, so now we have a question. Yibay luhu parash yeldamin chamor v'yeshbam mitzat simanim. So if a para gives birth to something that looks like a donkey, but it looks a little like a para, mahu what's the din for Bechora? Because now we don't have what we had in that Mishnah of Rachel with an A's. When the goat looks a little like the mother lamb, it's chayiv, because after all, both lambs and goats are behemah tahora. Both of them would have chudushat aguf as a bechor. Here you have a para tahora, and the birth looks like a donkey. The mother would normally have kedushat aguf that she was a bechor, and the baby would only have kedushat damim as a chamor. Lo, odama came into idum b'nei mikdash bechor kodesh. Maybe because both of them are kodesh b'bechor, meaning a cow and a donkey, and just like a ewe and a lamb, if it has some simanim with the mother, it's kadosh. V'imtim tzolomar. Remember the Rambam's rule that any time the Gemara keeps doing a fork and follows one fork of the reasoning, that's the halacha, and that is indicated by Tim Tzilomar. So if you want to say in the affirmative that the Bikadosh Chamer Shialdim in Susma, what if a donkey gives birth to a horse-looking thing? By the way, this is not talking about hybrid animals or crossbred animals, just sort of mutation. It says here, certainly a horse is never Kadosh B'Bukhara. Maybe since they're all both Tmeya, it's like kind of like the lamb and the goat. So if that's the case, then parashi yelda min sus. What if a para gives birth to something like a sus? Now we've skipped over the shaded area of the Venn diagram here. In other words, we have a para and a chamor, so both kodosh b'chora. Chamor and a sus are both tmeya, but para to sus is a bigger jump. You'd certainly say that they're different. One is tar, one's tame. One could be bechor, one couldn't. Or maybe when something looks like the mother, that itself is meaningful, and that's the real consideration. Toshma, let's see if we can solve it. So we're not given the information on what kind of animals these are. So if the mother is tahor, but the baby is looks like a tmeah, it's exempt from yesh, but it's not simanim. If there's some simanim of the mother, chayv b'chora. So my love, filu parashel damin sus, doesn't this even mean a cow giving birth to a horse? Lo parashel damin chamor, we're going to keep it closer, if it gave birth to a donkey. All right, so let's see further. Toshma parashel damin chamor, v'chamor shel damin sus, p'turah min ha'b'chora, im yesh, but it's simanim, chayv b'chora. So, if a para gave birth to a chamor, or chamor to something like a sus, then it's exempt from bechora. So, isn't that talking about both of them? Which means that even if it crosses all over, look, a para sheyaldam in chamor, it's talking about a para gave birth to a chamor. Chamor sheyaldam in sus, the mic, Tani. Now, why is it mentioned? Liftor, to tell me your patur? Pshita. That's as obvious that it's not chayav. Hashtuma parshel damin chamor duidi beimikash b'bechor aninu. When a cow gives birth to something that looks like a donkey, that they're both bnei mikdash, and nonetheless when yesh b'simach sabanim in v'ilolo. But if the young looks nothing like the mother, it's hakadosh, even though they're both of species that are kadosh b'bechora. Chamor shel damin sus mibaya. Do you have to tell me about a case where the offspring looked like a horse? The answer is no. It's dark sakat al chamena hatam hudi yesh la karnaim yehan le karnaim. In the case of a cow, the mother has horns, the baby doesn't have horns. Donkeys don't have horns. Ha parsotes tu kod parsotes klutot. And the mother has split hooves, and the baby has cloven hooves. Ha chedim yidim yidim ein la karnaim. Think about this with a chamor that gives birth to a sus. Neither have horns. Yidim yidim parsotes klutot, they both have cloven hooves. Ein la chamor adon balmahu. Maybe a horse is just a red donkey. So therefore, I would think that in that case, it's chayav, because it really is sort of a type of a sus. Therefore, I need to be taught that it is not the case. Now, next in the Mishnah, we said, mahin ba'achila, which means, what's the status of eating these animals? Lama l'mitnei shayotze, and that was followed by a rule. Shayotze min atame, tome yotze min atar tor. It's there to remind you that the key is the mother, not the baby. That you shouldn't think, look at the animal itself, the baby. This is a cow-looking thing, and this is a donkey-looking thing. Look at the mother. Why is that the case? The Tanur Rabbanan, Actually, without the word Ashusu, because this quotes away from Vayikra, Ishtachashu Malagiram Fasparsa, there are some animals that have the chew their cud, have split hooves, Viyatachol, you still can't eat them. Ve'ezezeh, Tahor Shanolad Mina Tamei, when the mother is Tameah and the baby is Tahor and looks Tahor and has Simane Tahara. Ainola Tameah Nolad Mina Tahor, or maybe it's the opposite. So then, why would you call it that? That it chews its cud and has split hooves? It's not true. Maybe it means something that comes from a mother who has the simani. Maybe that you're not allowed to eat. For the Torah says, gamal tamehu, meaning, hu tameh ve'ein tameh nolad min ha-tahor tameh, ela tahor. That the only one's tameh is if its mother is a gamal, but if it's a gamal-looking thing that was born from a tahor, it's not tameh. You could eat it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, gamal shnei piamim. The Torah says the word gamal twice, because the Torah gives us this list with some variations, and we dealt with this in depth in Nechulin, in Shmini and in Re'e. Echad gamal nolad min ha-gamala, echad gamal nolad min ha-paras. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this halacha, and says that whether or not the young was born from a gamal or from even from a para, if she herself, if the baby itself is a gamal, you are not allowed to eat it. Okay, now Rabbanan, hi gamal gamal mayavde. What do the Rabbanan do with these two gamals? Because after all, they already learned that because they disagree and they said, as long as the mother is tahara, we don't care what the baby looks like. One of them is to prohibit the milk of the gamal. So where does he get that prohibition, which we all agree is a prohibition? Where does he get it from? Nafgale me eta gamal. It says eta gamal means eta tafela gamal. Rabbanan etim lo darshi. They say et is not a significant enough word to darshi. Gatanya, famous piece. Shimon Amsoni, otherwise called et echabatorah. He darshed every et in the Torah. Kevin shigela et adonai the achatira. You have to fear et Hashem. Piresh, he stopped darshening. Amrulo tavidav. Rebbe, call etin shata shayin darashta matealem. What's going to happen to all the etim you darshened? As if you've now changed your approach. Just like I get a schar for the drushes I gave, I get a schar for my silence now. Which means I'm not negating anything I said, just now's the time to be silent. Okay, that was his drusha. Now, Amar Abacha bered de Rav Lorvashi. Elameata, if that's the case, Tamar Abonami Gamal Gamal Shem Gamal Gamal. So you're telling me that each one of them has a textual reason that's extra here that tells me that the milk of a Tomei is Tomei. If not for that, I would have thought that the milk is tahor. How would I have thought that? All the things that come out of them are asur. An isur that exudes something is asur. That byproduct is asur. The answer is sorry. I would think that even drinking the milk of a behema tahora itself is a chiddush. Why? Dam amar dam nekar nasachalav. There is a particular approach. We find it in Masachet Nida, for instance, that milk comes from a mammal's blood that then gets transformed into milk. And therefore, at kivan de chiddushu, I would think, since it's such a chiddush, because you're allowed to drink something that was originally blood, behema tmeya nami lishtri, so therefore it should be mutter in a behema tmeya also. So kamash plan that it's not. That's why I need the pasuk. But ha nechlamandam adam nekavna sachalav. That only works according to that opinion. We will see in Nida that it's not the only opinion that milk comes from blood. Elamandam arivarami parkinu v'menavein nafshachuzer talahadisun v'arba'a chodesh. There's another opinion that says milk comes from the fact that the body just undergoes such a transformation, and for the next 24 months it's just not the same. So ma'ikol meimar means milk is not a chiddush. The answer is it's still a chiddush. Istar chsalcha daita chameina hoel v'leika midat mikoach michai. V'shai rachmona, there's nothing that comes from a live animal that you're allowed to eat. Pai chol av kevin achayhu v'shari, and this milk is like even achay, and this let the Torah, yet the Torah permitted it. Helkach v'nehema tmeish nishri, maybe it should be mutar even in a behema tmeia. Kamash balan, that it's not. Cholav the behema tahora minal and shari. How do I know that the milk of a behema tahora is mutter? Who says I'm allowed to drink cow's milk? Elam and Asrachman Abbas Cholav halachu de shari. If it's because the Torah prohibited basar cholav, that proves that each one of those things independently is mutar. So, maybe not. Maybe milk is always also to eat, but you're allowed to get hanah from it. Basar b'chalav anana mi'asir. So b'chalav adds the new component of hanah. Ula Rav Shimon d'shar b'anah mishgach halah. According to Rav Shimon, we have a little bit of a problem because he says that basar b'chalav is mutar b'hanah. So he says the milk yal b'shulah. He'd still say there's an added piece to bishul basar b'chalav that you get makot for violating that isur. So those aren't a good proof. Here's the proof. The fact the Torah said in the context of Psulim Mukdashin, a hektesh became pasul. Tizbach v'achalta basar. What does tizbach mean? V'lo gizai. It means you're not allowed to shear it. Basar v'lo chalav. You're not allowed to drink its milk. So hadechul in shari. Obviously that means animals that are not hektesh or mutter, because otherwise the Torah wouldn't have to prohibit the milk of Psulim Mukdashin. V'em hadechul in asur b'chalav shari ba'na. The kotshim ba'na nami asur. So perhaps the difference is that in Psulim Mukdashin they're also b'ana, and in Chulin they're just also b'chila, which means we still don't know that you're allowed to drink regular milk. Obviously we know we're allowed to do it, but we haven't found a good source to pin it on. Ella midichti v'di chalav aizim lachmecha lachem beitecha v'chayim l'narotecha. The pasuk in Mishlei says, happy is a man who's able to support his family from his own flock, the garments from the wool, and milk from the goats. V'dumalas chora, maybe that just means that he goes and sells it to non-Jews. When David came to the front for what ultimately was his most famous battle against Goliath, it says that he brought 10 things of cheese. V'dilma l'schara, so maybe he was bringing him for business, for his brothers to do business. V'atu darkosh mohammed l'schara, would you do business at the front? The Torah is described as a land flowing of milk and honey. V'lo d'shari mishtachal v'chan prab midi lo chazi, with the Torah's praise, Eretz Yisrael was something you're not allowed to eat. The Navi says to go and buy and eat chalav along with other things. So if that's the case, then we have a good proof. But now going back to Gamal, so Shafan, Rebbe, Chazir, Chazir, Lahani, Hudatu. Remember, there's four animals that each have one siman, and that's the Gamal and Rebbe Shafan all have split hooves. Have all chew their cud, and the chazir all has split hooves, and the Torah goes out of its way to prohibit them. But that entire list shows up again in Sefer Dvarim. So why is it there twice? The answer is the Chadatanya, and so they're not there for that purpose. They're for a different purpose. Let me just remember Behema. Why is there a second list of the Behemot? In Dvarim, it says Parsa Shesua, which in San Chulin is a reference to a particular kind of animal. Uvaofot, why are the birds repeated? Mnei ra'ah, because the ra'ah is maybe the same as the ayah, maybe it's the da'ah. Gamal gamal nami la'achud e'atam, maybe the gamal is also coming for something like that. So the answer is called echad ikal midrash dashinan. Whenever we can add in a drasha, we will certainly do so. Okay, we'll bring that to a pause and we'll pick it up in the next podcast. Meantime, you should have a wonderful day.